This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Judging the future through the lens of the advertising industry. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The biggest advertising agency in the world is a useful gauge for the global economy. WPP today revised downward its sales forecast for the year, and its stock is down nearly 11% at the moment. WPP's CEO, Martin Sorrell, today blamed digital disruption and activist investors forcing leaner budgets on WPP's clients. But speaking with our partner broadcaster, the BBC, today, Sorrell also pointed to deep uncertainty about policy in the U.S.
The Trump administration has been far more open to business than the Obama administration, certainly in terms of connection. That hasn't translated into significant policy changes. We've seen some reduction in regulation, which is one part of the platform. Infrastructure spending really hasn't picked up yet. A pillar of the platform was simplification and reduction of taxation, particularly for corporates, and that has not happened. And that's been stopped or certainly delayed by lack of healthcare reform, whether you think that's right or wrong. So this inability to implement vital parts of the program has really delayed things, and it's starting to look much more difficult in the context of 2018 and beyond.
Martin Sorrell, CEO of the biggest of advertising firms, WPP. Now, you may remember famous Madison Avenue names like Ogilvy and Mather, Young and Rubicam, and J. Walter Thompson. Well, they've been folded into WPP over the years. No kidding, but WPP started out in a very different line of work. WPP stood for Wire and Plastics Products. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 3 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 2 to 3 tenths of a percent range. Did ExxonMobil mislead investors and the public about what it really knew about climate change? A study from Harvard today draws on the internal communications of scientists at Exxon. This is a matter that's already being investigated by the Attorneys General of New York and Massachusetts, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
When a Los Angeles Times article came out a few years ago accusing ExxonMobil of hiding climate science, the oil company issued a challenge. It would release all its internal documents for the public to read and decide for themselves. Naomi Reskes, a researcher at Harvard, took the challenge and co-wrote this new study.
We subjected them to a social scientific technique in order to do complete objective unbiased appraisal of the full set of documents.
187 documents. They found that more than 80% of internal communication and scientific papers at ExxonMobil acknowledged climate change is real and human-caused. But 80% of paid advertisements in the New York Times, called advertorials, expressed doubt. So does this make it harder for the company to defend itself? Michael Girard is a law professor at Columbia University.
The mere fact of having some information that is at odds with what they're saying in general might not be a basis for liability unless Exxon uniquely knew certain information that was not publicly available.
ExxonMobil says the investigations are politically motivated and has asked a federal court for an injunction. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Immigration arrests have been climbing under President Trump, but it's still unclear if this administration will make use of large-scale raids of workplaces as an enforcement tool. Today, a look at the enduring effects of one of those raids. The place was Postville, Iowa, the year 2008, the late Bush administration. Nearly 400 undocumented workers were arrested at a kosher meat plant and many deported. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looks at what followed.
A few months ago, rumor started flying around Postville that immigration agents were in town. The high school principal, Brendan Knutson, wanted to know what was up.
So I jumped in my truck, drove around town, found no evidence of anything. Still had a lot of kids nervous. Told any kid that was nervous to meet in this classroom after school, and we grabbed our school vehicles and transported them all home so they didn't have to walk.
Some kids were afraid of getting rounded up. It's understandable. Painful memories of a 2008 immigration raid are still vivid here. The helicopters overhead, the frantic phone calls. That's certainly the case for Barbara Hersman. She taught second and third grade in Postville at the time.
I had one boy whose parents came and picked him up that morning, and he vanished. I never saw him again.
Hundreds of undocumented workers disappeared overnight. There were churchgoers, neighbors, customers at local businesses. Some stores folded after the raid. Houses were abandoned, property values plummeted, and the beleaguered kosher meat plant closed. Dave Swenson is an economist at Iowa State University. He says the raid happened just as the Great Recession was unfolding, and the economy of Alamackie County, where Postville sits, suffered worse than the other three counties around it.
That county also had, the worst recovery of all four of those counties. So it really took a hit because of that raid, not just the recession.
Swenson says the economy is still characterized by poverty. At the food pantry in town, a steady stream of people fill bags with items like cereal and bread.
Thank you.
Kosher meatpacking plant reopened under new ownership nearly a year after the raid. Now the name of the plant is Agristar. Somali refugees replaced some of the Latino workers deported after the raid. Brendan Knutson, the high school principal, says the students from Somalia come with a fresh set of challenges, some with no English or no formal education. He says what hasn't changed is how much people in Postville still depend on the plant.
One bad day at the plant could upend this whole city again without much of a problem. So,
fact is, those meatpacking plant jobs are still some of the best in the area. In Postville, Iowa, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And what in the world would be scary enough to force Walmart to team up with Google? The answer is Amazon. There's news today that Google Express will start selling some Walmart things. The first time Walmart stuff will be available outside of Walmart's direct orbit. The companies also foresee a future where a person can reorder stuff they bought at Walmart by yelling into their Google Home voice-actuated device. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.